Good morning. Oh, you can do better than that. Good morning. Welcome to West End United Methodist Church. My name is Reverend Brandon Baxter, and I'm one of the associate pastors here, and it's good to see you this morning on this beautiful, sunny day. It's warming up out there for those of you that are here in person, and it's good to have you joining us if you are online as well this morning. I want to remind you that it always helps us for you to record your attendance so that we know who is here and so that we can reach out to you if you might be new or a visitor, but we also like to know if you're here and you're a member. So if you are in the sanctuary, you can find one of the attendance pads that should be at the end of your pew and fill that out and pass it down to your neighbors on your pew and make sure that everybody fills that in. If you're worshiping with us online, you can follow the link that is in the chat, or there may be information on the screen right now about leaving your attendance as well. I have a few announcements this morning. First, I want to invite everyone to join us again this evening, right in this space, as we have our monthly Tazay service of healing and prayer. This beautifully simple contemplative service includes time for singing and for centering prayer and for prayers of healing and even anointing with oil. That will be at 5 p.m. tonight, and you can be right here in the sanctuary, or also you can participate online if you choose to do that. Also, as you've probably seen around the church, those of you that have been in the building lately, that we are in the process of replacing some tiles on our floors, and that was actually something we had planned long before we had the flooding that came from the fourth floor. And the tile has come in, and so we will be starting to replace that tile on this second level this week. So if you are in the church on the weekdays of this week, know that the traffic path from the two elevators to the level two sanctuary entrance and also where the stairs meet the floor just outside the sanctuary, that will all be closed this week to foot traffic so that the floor can set and be a nice, even space. So if you're in the church this week, pay attention to the signage and follow it and stay off those floors. And then we think and we hope that that will be ready to walk on by next Sunday. Finally, Lent is fast approaching, the season of Lent, which means we have lots of annual events and worship services to prepare us for that season. It's all going to start on March 1st, which is Shrove Tuesday, and we'll begin with our annual pancake supper that will happen from 5 to 6:30. There will be no charge for the pancake supper this year, but you are invited to make donations that will go towards the Sunny Day Club. And we do ask that you RSVP so we have enough pancakes and all the stuff that goes with that. Following that, at 6:30 p.m., right here in the sanctuary, we will celebrate one of the most unique services here at West End, our Shrove Tuesday Jazz Mass, and that is a wonderful time where we get dressed up in sort of Mardi Gras kind of clothes, and the ministers even wear masks, and we have a New Orleans-style jazz band that comes and provides all the music, so it's a really fun time of celebration that gets us ready for the Lenten season. But then on Wednesday, March 2nd, things take a more meditative turn as we observe Ash Wednesday services, and those will be at noon and 6 o'clock on that Wednesday. We hope you will join us for these events and services as you prepare your hearts and minds for the Lenten season. And now let us turn our hearts to God, the God who loves us unconditionally and invites us into everlasting relationship.
love for us is with us wherever we may go. God's love for us is greater than any circumstance we face. There is nothing we can do to be separated from God's love. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are and all we carry is held within God's perfect love for us, who cares deeply for us, and whose compassion and mercy has no end. Loving God, we confess we often rely upon ourselves to fix what we have broken. We turn from you and toward our strength, ambition, and resources. We look to our own understanding to cure the things that ail us. Forgive us, merciful God, for ignoring you as you stand before us with perpetually outstretched arms. Though time and again we choose to distance ourselves from you by sin, waywardness, bitterness, or distrust, you continue to stand and wait, eagerly watching to welcome us back home. You are always with us and freely give of yourself to us. May we be healed by your infinite compassion and generosity, that we may love and serve one another in kind. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, both here in the sanctuary and joining us from wherever you may be, I invite you to exchange signs of reconciliation and of love however you are comfortable. The peace of Christ be with you all.
Thank you.
What a great joy that was. And another great joy of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Daniel and Kelly Lumina bring their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Daniel and Kelly, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? So say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do.
I do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will.
I will.
And congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
What name is given this child?
Simon Daniel.
Simon Daniel. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to lay hands on him if you want to gather around. Now may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to invite you all to come stand in front here so that this congregation can meet their new brother in Christ.
Will the congregation please stand and face Simon Daniel? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Simon Daniel to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Simon Daniel, and we welcome you in Christian love. as members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the slaves and he asked, 'What's going on?' He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you're always with me, and with all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to invite any young people that are here with us this morning to come forward for our children's time. So I'm going to get down right here. And if you are worshiping with us at home, you might want to lean in a little closer to the screen right now as I talk to you. Yeah, you can come on up here. Come on. You want to come on up? You can bring your friend if you want. Yeah, you can bring your dad. Yeah, come on. I've got my friend up here. Do you see this? This is Spot. Isn't Spot cute? I brought Spot today to be with me because, you know what? I really felt like I just needed a hug this morning. And Spot is so cuddly.
I have a dog on my house.
Do you all have stuffed animals at home? Yeah? Can you not?
I have a dog stuffy.
You have a dog stuffy? Yeah. And do you like to hug your stuffy sometimes? Does anybody sleep with an animal at night? Oh, yeah. Sleep with a giant bear. Okay. Oh, sometimes a toy, sometimes a giant bear. Yeah, it's nice to have something to hold on to and hug, right? Well, I felt like I needed a hug this morning. Now, oh, even a remote control robot. I've never hugged a remote control robot, but that I bet that's an interesting experience. But guess what? Guess what? Did you hear the story that we just heard a minute ago? The story that we heard. One of the things that happens in that story is there's a young man, and he goes off into the world, and his life doesn't turn out quite like he thought it would. And he gets really, really sad. He gets really, really sad, and he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have food, he doesn't know where to live, and he doesn't know where to go. And guess what? He goes back home. He remembers that God loves him very much, and he also remembers that his dad loves him very much. And so he goes back home, and what do you think the first thing that happens when he goes back home to his dad? What is the first thing that happens? Did you hear? He hugs him. That's right. He gives him a big old hug. And he says, "Son, I am so glad you're back. I am so glad that you are here." Now, you know what? This dog sits in my daughter's room. I have two daughters, actually, but this sits in one of my daughter's rooms. And as much as I like to hug this dog, do you know who I really like to hug? I like to go in there at night and give my daughter a good night hug. And whenever I hug my daughter, that reminds me that God has given me the gift of having a child that I can love, and she loves me back. And we remind each other that God always loves us very much. So today, if you want to, now you don't ever have to give somebody a hug, but if you want to today, I invite you to find somebody that you love very much and give them a big hug and tell them that you love them and that God loves them very much. You think you might do that? Yeah? Because that's one way we can remind people that they are loved and that we care about them and that God cares about them. Oh, there we go right there. Beautiful hug. So will you pray with me? Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks that you always love us. We know that no matter where we go, that you are right there with us. I pray for these children here, and I pray that they know that God loves them, and pray that they know that they are loved by many people, and that they can share God's love with their parents and their friends and other people that they know. Lord, we give you thanks for all of those things. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. All right, now if you are between 3 and 5 years old, you can go with Pastor Maggie right there and with Pastor Katie to Children's Chapel. And if you're older than 5, you can return back to your seat with your parents, okay? Last few Sundays, as we've been in this Love Always series. Oh, I forgot. I still got my mask on. Hold on a moment. We've been exploring portions of the Apostle Paul's letters that we don't hear very often. In fact, they were so foreign to our ears probably that we had to kind of work to open our minds and our hearts to really understand even what they were saying or how they might apply to our lives. This week, though, we face the opposite experience. Today, here in this so-called parable of the prodigal son, we find a story so familiar that most of us might be wondering, is there anything new to discover? And yet this week, as I pondered the text and as I dug into it with Bible study participants, and as I put it into conversation with what Paul says about love, I was reminded of just how rich this tale really is. There's a reason that we revisit it time and again. It's complex, it's many-sided, and it resonates with the very depth of the expansive nature of God's love in all of its forms. I say it's the so-called prodigal son story because I'm not really sure that's the best name for it. Many other names have been suggested as well. The story of the prodigal sons, maybe the tale of the two brothers, or perhaps most fittingly, the story of the prodigal father or the loving father. Some of the members of our Bible studies this week suggested some other titles. Some of the ones I heard were maybe the parable of the spoiled brat or the parable of the dysfunctional family. Perhaps you can think of others. As we try to discern what this story is wanting to tell us about divine love, I wonder if it makes the most sense for us to hold all of these names and perspectives in tension. All at once, this is a story about promising futures and dashed dreams, good decisions and bad ones, fruitful outcomes and the depths of despair, reconciliation and resentment, hatred and love. It's messy, it's complicated, it's life. And divine love winds its way all the way through it. As the Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians, divine love hopes all things and bears all things. It believes all things and endures all things. Now, it's tempting for us to hear this story and want to turn it into an allegory, to say that the father represents God and that the younger son represents the repentant sinner returning to God. And while there's nothing necessarily wrong with such a reading, Today, I want to invite you to simply hear this as a human story. One where divine love pursues and chases each member of this family, seeking wholeness, healing, and goodness for each person involved. In this way, I think we can begin to catch a glimpse of the ways in which God's love pursues each and every one of us as well. Love hopes all things. As we imagine the years that would have led up to the beginning of this story, we can imagine the hopes and dreams that culminated in this moment in these people's lives. I imagine this father as a younger man, holding his sons as they were first born. If you've been a parent or a parent figure, you know the profound sense of hope and possibility that comes with raising children and imagining their futures. Initially, it seems all so open and so free. And it is. This is one of the good and great aspects of the gift of life and love that God grants to each and every one of us. Love means potential and promise. Now, all of us, whether we've been parental figures or not, can remember the sense of possibility that we carry or that we carried as young children, as teenagers, as young adults. And these two young brothers had hopes and dreams not so unlike our own. So no matter your age, I invite you to take a moment and remember how you have known God's love during your times of hope. When has love opened the doors of possibility, of adventure, of exploration, and of growth? That's what true divine love does. Love hopes the best for my future, for your future, and for our future together. If you are in a season of hope and possibility, know that the God who is love is with you. Love bears all things. Because love in action opens the door of endless possibilities and potential, love also carries with it a measure of risk or even danger. That's why love must not only hope, but it must also be ready to bear the burdens and struggles that are the natural accompaniment to living lives of hope and possibility. In the face of hope for the future of his sons, it must have hurt this father tremendously when his younger son came to ask for his inheritance prematurely. After having poured years of sacrifice and care into the life of this boy, his son had basically turned around and wished him dead. He was seeking the inheritance that would normally have been his after his father's death. And yet the father gives in, and the father gives him and his other brother their inheritance. Now, some folks who hear this part of the story say, "What an irresponsible father. How about showing some backbone or some tough love?" But I think this father understands something about divine love that we often fail to grasp. The truest love, the kind of godly love that binds the universe together, is a non-coercive and always giving love. In the book Uncontrolling Love, Essays Exploring the Love of God, theologian Thomas J. Ord writes, "God's love is necessarily self-giving and others empowering. God cannot override or withdraw or fail to provide the power of freedom, agency, or existence to creation." Now, of course, it's always important to remember that only God can absolutely give of self. There are limits to what we can do and what we can give, boundaries that we must set for our own health and well-being. And yet, when we lean into divine love, we will find ourselves becoming people who seek to empower others and to allow others to live more freely under the care of God's provision. As painful as it must have been for this father to have parted with his son in this way, and as frightened as he must have been for his son's future, this father chose not to control, but to let his son live freely, to let his son rise or fall, to entrust his son to God's abiding love, knowing that ultimately that's the only thing that could fully hold his son. If you are currently in a season of having been hurt by someone dear to you, or you have a rocky relationship, know that the God who is love is with you. If you are in a season of letting someone go so that they may live more freely in the care of God, know that the God who is love is with you. Love believes all things. As this younger son followed what he thought were his wildest dreams and wishes, something happened. What began as promise and excitement devolved into pain and lament. Although this young gentleman received a profound gift from his father, a gift of freedom and exploration, he did not quite know what to do with it. He misused that freedom. And this young man learned the hard way what the Apostle Paul puts so succinctly in another part of 1 Corinthians: "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial." So he found himself at the lowest point in his life, feeling alone and pitiful, wishing to eat among the pigs in their pigsty. I think this is perhaps one of the most profound portraits of destitution and depression in the Bible. And yet at that very moment when he was at his absolute worst, feeling completely lost, the parable says in the King James Version that he came to himself. Somehow when all was bleak, a glimmer of sunshine broke through. And I think this is a moving depiction of the love of God that is always working on us, that is at the heart of our very being. If we can only stop to notice it and to believe it and even embrace it. And when this love sparks, we come to ourselves. We suddenly begin to sense something of our self-worth again. The love of God believed that this young man was not disposable or unimportant, or even worse, irredeemably bad. Rather, he was simply lost to himself and to others. But love opened the door back to his own worth, his own imago Dei, or that image of God within. And when he returned to his father believed in his worth as well, so much so that he celebrated his return with a lavish celebration and with so much honor. Now, tough love may have said to shower him with shame or with guilt. But the divine love channeled by this father knows that no shame he could pile on was any worse than what this young man already brought with him. As clinical social worker and researcher and author Dr. Brené Brown reminds us, the opposite of worthiness is shame. And this father knew that love is the antidote to shame and self-loathing. A love that says, I see you, I feel your pain, and all will be okay. Now, I suspect everyone here can identify with this experience of being at your lowest point. Either you or someone you love has probably hit a rock bottom of sorrow or of grief or of shame. Sometimes it's because we've misused our freedoms like this young man. Many other times it's simply because of the way things have unfolded in our lives as we face loss or tragedy, hardship and struggle. But whatever has brought us or our loved ones to that point, it's important to remember that we are not alone. Did you know that according to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, 17.3 million, or 6.7%, of American adults experience depression each year, and another 40.1 million, or 18.1%, of American adults experience some form of anxiety disorder each year? These numbers don't even capture the prevalence of these difficulties among children and teens, or the uptick of these things in the aftermath of COVID. But it's so important to remember, and here's where the younger son sets a good example. It's important to remember, like the younger son does, that there is always help available if you only reach for it. If you find yourself in a season of grief, despair, or depression, or lament, know that the God who is love is with you. Love endures all things. Love is always working to bring about healing and wholeness and fruitful relationships. The love between the father and the younger son endured despite the separation and the hard times between them. And obviously, the love endured between the father and the older son, this son who dutifully stayed behind to use his time and his inheritance and his energy to care for his father's livelihood. But one wonders, as the story draws to a close, does love endure between all three of them? Can the older brother come to forgive his younger brother's transgressions and begin to see him as worthy of love and a place back at home? Can the younger son accept that the love he has received now calls for some accountability to his father and his brother? Not because of shame or of duty, but because that's simply what loving relationship requires. And can the father who has demonstrated he knows so much about the nature of divine love help both of his sons learn to embody more grace, more support, and more mutual growth for and with one another? In many ways, we're right back to where we started. It's messy, It's complicated. It's life. And divine love winds its way through all of it. If you are wondering today if God's love can really hold it all together in your life and relationships, the good and the bad, the ups and the downs, the struggles and the triumphs, know that the God who is love is with you. God's love looks most like that big, great, giant hug that the Father offers to his younger son upon his return. It's an all-embracing love, and it's the only thing big enough to hold all that we experience. And to believe that and to trust that is so fundamentally important. To live inside of and through such divine love can and will begin to make all the difference in your life. It will shape your thinking and your feeling and your knowing and your praying and your doing. And it may take time, even a lifetime or more. But God's love always triumphs in the end. Just ask this father and his two sons.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together, number 883 in our hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or for those of you here in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you. You can fill those out and place them in the offering boxes that are at the doors to the sanctuary on your way out this morning. This morning we remember Mary Sanford Hay and her family, who are mourning the death of her grandmother, Mary Josephine Jo Sanford, who passed away on February 7th. Services were held on February 11th in Clarksville, Tennessee. Karen Hicks Lawrence and her family are mourning the death of her mother, Carolyn Sharp Hicks, who passed away on February 14th in Huntsville, Alabama. A private graveside service is being held on March 6th, with a larger celebration of life to be held later. And finally, we remember Terry and Nancy Clements and their family, who are mourning the death of Terry's father, Joseph William Bill Clements, who passed away on February 14th. Services were held Saturday, February 19th, at First United Methodist Church of Gainesville, Georgia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that no matter where we go, no matter what we do or don't do, no matter how far we feel from you, you are never far from us. Your love is unconditional, and it is so expansive that we cannot flee from your presence. Your arms are ever open to welcome us in, and we are grateful, O God. This morning we pray for those who feel like they are in a distant country. May your enduring grace guide them on their paths, that with each step they might grow closer to you. We pray too for those who feel left out, for those who feel envious of others, for those who have done all the right things and still have not received the credit they deserve. May your deep and abiding love heal their wounds, O God. May the great abundance of your kingdom come on earth, even as it is in heaven. We pray for those who suffer, for those who are sick, those who are in pain, those who are raw with grief. We pray for our neighbors who are hungry, for those who are in need of medical care, and those who cannot find affordable housing. Wrap each of these in your loving arms, O God, that they might find comfort and strength, courage and healing in your embrace. And guide us as we work together to find ways to ease the suffering of others. May we be sources of healing and hope in our world. We pray for places in our world where peace is threatened this day, where violence and injustice are an ever-present threat. Guide the leaders of all nations to seek peace and prosperity for all people, that they all might have what they need to live in health and in safety. And finally, O God, we pray for ourselves, and we pray for our church. You have drawn us together in this community of faith to be an expression of your all-embracing and unconditional love in our world. Help us to bear with one another in love, that we might faithfully serve you and our neighbors in all that we say and do. All of our prayers, both spoken and unspoken, we offer to you in the name of Christ, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you're welcome to give via the options listed on the screen. And for those worshiping here in person, as I mentioned earlier, there are offering boxes at the doors to the sanctuary where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to our God who loves us unconditionally.
love is this. It's none other than the love that binds us together and that binds all of creation together. And I hope you've experienced a bit of that love today and that you will take it with you out into the world to share with all whom you encounter. Go in God's peace. Amen.